Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sport Intern Special, a series of podcasts in which we speak to the decision makers and key stakeholders within the Olympic movement. My name is Ashish Sharma. And in this episode, we continue with part two of our conversation with Jill Geer. She is the Chief Marketing and Communications Officer for USA Gymnastics. And of course, for all the major Olympic sports, this is a big year because 2024, in just a few months' time, will feature the Paris Olympic Games. And so, in part two, I began by asking Jill how excited she and USA Gymnastics were with the prospects of an Olympics in Paris.
Well, it is quite a year ahead of us, and we have several key competitions in the United States that kind of lead up to the selection. You know, we start with our Winter Cup, which is in February in Louisville, and that's really kind of a rust buster for athletes. I mean, it's our men, most of our top men will compete. For the women, they are still very early in their season, but then it continues through the Core Hydration Classic in May, which is in Hartford. And that's going to be where you really start to see people amping up what they're doing. They're adding skills, they're adding difficulty. We have our Xfinity US Championships in late May, and that takes place in Fort Worth. And that is the last competition before the Olympic trials for artistic. So all of that then leads up to the Olympic trials, which is in Minneapolis. And that is held in conjunction. We have our National Congress there. We are having our USA Gymnastics Championships there, which is every discipline besides artistic. And we are having our Gym Fest and Gymnastics for All. So it is a massive event. And coming out of that, we will have our artistic gymnastics team. And so you have most of the men are competing in college right now, and that is how they prepare. The women are preparing with their clubs and their coaches. And we do have a couple of collegians as well, which is a big change within women's artistic. But for our rhythmic athletes, Evita Griskinis has already qualified, which is fantastic. So she has her ticket punched. We have a spot already for women's trampoline, and the men's trampoline are also working on qualifying as well. So it's a busy year, and it's all happening between February and then June and July. So it's a lot packed in.
I mean, it's very close, and you sound ever so relaxed explaining all of that. You must be like having a nightmare attacking all of this to organize.
Yeah. It's funny. I liken it, given my track and field background, and I, you know, competed at a very low level in track and field, but I equate it to a 400 meter dash that happens to last for 7 months because you are redlining it the entire year. But when it comes to events, you know, the athletes do all the hard work. We're just here to support it. And the events come and they happen and then they end. So our job is to remain calm, to do everything we can to support athletes. And, you know, it's not unlike, I think the analogy, you know, is a duck who's like frantically paddling underneath the water. That's pretty much how it is for us.
And of course, it's in Paris. It's an iconic city in itself anyway, but also historically 100 years since Paris last held the event. And some wonderful things are being planned in terms of opening ceremony for the first time outside the stadium. You know, you're going to have events in iconic locations. How exciting is that? From, I suppose there's a different point of view because athletes would just be focused on performing, right? But you guys are organizing it all. Are you able to sort of say, well, this is going to be great fun because it's there, it's Paris?
Well, except for Tokyo, I've worked at every Olympic Games since 1996. And let me tell you, for administrators, the Olympics are all work. But I will say there is a level of excitement around Paris that I have not seen. The only other games that really comes close for me would probably be London. But with Paris, it's, you know, the 100 years anniversary since they last hosted. Also, it's the first Olympics that is truly coming out of a pandemic. And then you just have Paris as one of the world's great international cities. And so we have all felt from the jump, as they say, that the international and even national level of excitement and buzz is just next level. And while the athletes are very focused on competing, they also get to soak in some of that ambiance as well. So rest assured that the athletes will be making the most of, you know, being in Paris and really taking their Olympics experience to the next level, because no city can deliver an experience the way Paris can. It's just, the same can be said of London or New York or Oslo. You know, any city has a unique culture, and it's wonderful that Paris is really featuring theirs.
And I think you touched on something there, which is quite interesting, because you say Tokyo, of course, took place, but it was empty stadium. There was no one around. So really, since, I suppose, Rio this year is now going to be the first Olympics where we will have, you know, sort of fans there full on. Does that intensify the whole experience even more? And on top of that, it is in Paris.
Absolutely. And it's interesting. We've been talking even at USA Gymnastics. You know, obviously, Simone competed in Rio, but most of the athletes who are in the sport of gymnastics don't actually know what it's like to compete at the Olympics in front of fans, because the World Championships is a great preparation, but nothing compares to the Olympic Games. And so it'll be an experience unlike any other, and it'll be amplified even more because of all the factors we just talked about.
And do you know anything about the location in terms of where the gymnastics events will take place? Is it going to be as iconic as perhaps, you know, the volleyball is going to be placed in front of God knows what have you?
Well, the artistics, gymnastics, and trampoline will be held at Bercy Arena. And please pardon my French accent, it is terrible. But that's a really iconic venue in the 12th district. So its architecture is known around the world as kind of pyramidal, and they have the grass roof, and you know, all the major concerts and everything else come through Bercy. So having it in the arena speaks to obviously the place that gymnastics has in the Olympic program as well. And rhythmic will actually be at a new venue in the north of Paris, but we're looking forward to it. It's in the middle of everything.
And I have to ask, in the end, it's all down to results. So are you beginning to work out calculations, permutations as to what would success look like, feel like for USA gymnastics? And I suppose if you compare it within other sports within the US Olympic umbrella, you've got some pretty, pretty hot athletes out there who are going to achieve a lot of success. So is there a lot of competition amongst the different sports as well as what you want to achieve internationally?
Well, success for us always looks like athletes competing to the best of their ability, enjoying the process and finishing happy and healthy. And what we do know is that when American gymnasts have that experience, then the results follow. We are coming off of an extremely successful World Championships in Antwerp last fall, where the women did phenomenally, as obviously, but really one of the biggest story was our men, who won a team bronze. And then we also had an individual all-around medal from Fred Richard, and also Coy Young winning two individual medals. So we are extraordinarily optimistic without tying us down to any predictions. But if our athletes are able to compete healthy and happy, they're going to do very, very well. Now, within the Olympic program itself, fortunately, sports are scheduled so that different sports kind of, you know, rise to center stage at different times. You know, gymnastics kind of opens the games. Track and field kind of closes it out. And then you have swimming and everything else in between as well. So we know that gymnastics always really captures the fascination of the world, and especially of the US. And it's unique to the sport. And it's something that I'm really looking forward to experiencing.
And I know that all athletes really want to compete with the best in order to be the best. The IOC did finally say that athletes from Russia and Belarus can participate as long as they are sort of following certain criteria as neutral athletes. How do you embrace that sort of decision by the IOC?
Well, FIG has been working on what that would look like for the sport of gymnastics. But as a federation, you know, we are here to compete against whichever athletes present themselves. You know, USA Gymnastics was pretty clear starting at the beginning of the conflict about where we stood. But we know that American athletes, whoever they're competing against or not competing against, are going to fare very, very well.
You come into gymnastics from a background of USA track and field. As you say, you've been to every Olympics. They've always been for US track and field apart from Tokyo. So this is going to be your first with USA Gymnastics. When you're looking at the preparation and the building up process compared to what you've had with, you would say, track and field, is it very different, or do you find that in the end they're all very, very similar in terms of logistics and preparations?
Well, the structures of the organization are quite different. The sports have a lot of similarities just in terms of, they're the best teams in the world at what they do, best athletes, best coaches, without seeming too American-centric on it. But that is something that really ties the two sports together. But structurally, it's very different. I mean, the biggest difference is USA Gymnastics, we have a standing national team for each discipline, and those teams come together regularly during the year for training. Whereas with track and field, it's athletes and their coaches training all over the country on their own, which happens in gymnastics, but they never come together fully as a team until the national championships. Certainly the scope, with gymnastics, you have a team of five, six athletes. It depends on which year it is, for both men and women in each discipline compared to 140 athletes for track and field. But at the end of the day, the selection is different, but the sports are really, and my role in the sports is really, really quite similar. And that is, you go to the games, you support the athletes, you support the media, and it's all about the athletes. That is what we do to give them the platform to shine. And I love that. It's what gets me up every day, and I can't wait to see what happens in Paris.
And I'm sure you'll be very excited when they're out there holding their gold medals and you're ticking off all the boxes saying, yep, yeah, we got another one, we got another one, we got another one.
Well, it makes my job easier, although it also makes it harder because, the level of media interest in the US team is really, really intense. And so a lot of times we have to help just managing that chaos, which is a good kind of chaos to have. But yeah, can't wait to see it and to be awed by what gymnasts do. It is truly incredible.
Well, those there were the thoughts of Jill Gear. She is the Chief Officer for Communications and Marketing at USA Gymnastics. Don't forget, you can get all the latest news from the Olympic movement by subscribing to the Sport Inter newsletter produced every day, Monday to Friday. But until the next time, stay safe.